Join me, Christine Weinbrenner-Eirich, for soulful conversations with my community of travelers, exploring the heart, the mind, and the globe. We might all agree that we are missing travel right now. These conversations highlight what tourism really means for the world. Soul of Travel honors the passion and dedication of the people making a positive impact in tourism. In each episode, you'll hear the story of industry professionals and seasoned travelers who know travel is more than a vacation. It is an opportunity for personal awareness, and it is a vehicle for change. We are thought leaders, action takers, and heart-centered change makers. This is the soul of travel. If you have ever wondered what lies beneath the surface of your travel experience, this conversation will shed light on all the ways your trip can create positive global impact. I am joined by Adrienne Lee, Director of Global Impact at Tourism Cares. She and I discuss examples of combining social impact and travel, such as the Meaningful Travel Map in Jordan, a community-led project with a Maasai village in Kenya, and a reverse osmosis program in Guatemala. We also talk about the power of investing in women to create global change and how tourism is perfectly positioned to support this type of empowerment. At the end of our conversation, we talk about the upcoming Tourism Cares Summit and projects in Colombia, as well as My Lotus Communities collaboration with Tourism Cares. As a side note, some of this timeline has changed due to delays related to the pandemic. We are still in active communication, and I really look forward to supporting this organization in the future. I deeply enjoyed this conversation and celebrating the ways community-based tourism and meaningful travel can be a vehicle for change. Join me now for my conversation with Adrienne Lee. Good morning. Welcome to Soul of Travel. I've been looking forward to this episode for quite some time. I'm here today with Adrienne Lee from Tourism Cares. And Tourism Cares is an organization that I connected with early on in my career, actually when I was interning at an event. And I learned about the work that they were doing, and I was so excited and inspired. For me, travel had always been something more than travel. And I had this idea that philanthropy and travel should really go hand in hand, and community preservation and environmental awareness and consciousness, like all of these things I feel are really important aspects. And so Tourism Cares was one of those first organizations that validated that for me, that there was a whole group of people focused on the good that tourism could do. So I'm really excited to welcome you, and I would love for you to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your role at Tourism Cares and what the organization does to you.
Thanks, Christine. Thank you so much for having me on Soul of Travel today. So my name is Adrienne. I am the Director of Global Impact for Tourism Cares, and my preferred pronouns are she and her. So I joined the Tourism Cares team about two and a little bit years ago. I had been working for a social enterprise incubator in travel prior to that, working for a tour operator. And then my role really is to look at how can we connect communities to the tourism supply chain. Tourism has incredible benefits of being able to redistribute wealth around the world, create dignified livelihoods, empower women. So my role really is to seek out and connect with nonprofits, social enterprises, community-led organizations, and really bring them into the tourism supply chain to see how can we connect them with the tourism market so they can benefit from the tourism industry as well.
Part of what I love about Soul of Travel and the tourism industry and this process is learning about all these amazing things and inspiring people who may not know that this work even exists. And when I read your title initially, I was like, that is a dream job. Like, I
I didn't even know that would be so incredible to be immersed in that space every day as my profession, as your profession. So I think that is one thing that is really exciting. A lot of people, when they think about working in tourism, maybe think about working for the larger industries, for airlines and cruise companies and as travel agents, but there's so many pieces to the puzzle. And you and I were talking prior to this, but about a lot of the stuff that seems to happen kind of behind the scenes. And that's really where I think the magic unfolds. And so that's part of what Soul of Travel is about, is to just shine a light on that beautiful work. And so I'm really excited again that you're here to bring that story to this conversation. I would like to start with the Meaningful Travel Map. And that is what reconnected me to Tourism Cares. I was working with the Jordan Tourism Board to craft an itinerary. And, you know, I was asking them, I'm like, I really want something meaningful. I want to connect to artisans. I want to connect to women. I want the money that comes from my trips to ripple out to small community organizations. I want to be environmentally conscious. And this was the first time that the answer was so easy. They're like, well, just look at the Meaningful Travel Map. It's all right there. What would you like to choose from? And it was really awe-inspiring for me, and it's so comprehensive, easy to use. I would love for you to share more about what the Meaningful Travel Map is, kind of what inspired it, why it was created, and who it supports.
Absolutely. And we're big fans of the Jordan Tourism Board as well. The Jordan Tourism Board is part of our membership, and JTB is also part of our board. So big fans of Malia and her team out there. So the Meaningful Travel Map was a concept that was built out of one of our first Global Meaningful Travel Summits that we held in Jordan in February of 2018. I'm like thinking of this year has felt so long and so short at the same time. So almost 2 years ago, we took a contingent of about 75 different tour operators and companies to the country of Jordan to really look at the sort of off the beaten track, very authentic, community-led, community-owned, women-owned enterprises that may have been just sort of a little bit off of sort of your designated tour operator itinerary, but also very close to the main highways and to access routes that were part of these itineraries. So we looked at, could we support social enterprises and community tours that could benefit from the tourism industry but may not be benefiting yet? So nonprofits that were doing incredible environmental work, women's groups that were doing incredible gender empowerment work, and really feed them sort of into the tourism supply chain. What I love about the tourism supply chain is it's made up of products and services that are really adaptable, really transferable, and really help build up local community livelihoods. So when you think of the tourism supply chain, you think of, you know, what are the sort of five products and services that make up an itinerary? And that really is accommodations. Everyone needs a place to stay. Everyone needs somewhere to eat, so meals, transportation, experiences, and then oftentimes travelers love to bring something home with them, like a souvenir. So how can we adapt those five products and services to be able to benefit communities when we travel? So that's really what the Jordan Meaningful Map was built off of, 12 enterprises that we could feed into the tourism supply chain. And we thought, you know, it was so successful in bringing so many more travelers there in 2019 and having many of our members sort of join on to including these experiences into their itineraries that we looked at, could we do this in other places? So our second global meaningful travel summit will be in Colombia next year. But in the meantime, we've been adding different spots all over a global meaningful travel map that we host on our meaningful travel platform. So these are organizations that we've worked with in the past, either at our domestic summits that we've either granted out to with travel impact grants or scholarships. They might be organizations that we've held programmatic opportunities with, such as speaking engagements. So they're all incredible organizations that Tourism Cares has vetted it had some sort of partnership or relationship with that we've included on this map that's open to any travel professional that wants to check it out and visit. And they're all currently market ready as well. So they're all visitable and ready to create a really meaningful experience for you.
As a small tour operator, the things that I just gathered from that were really impactful and resonated were that they're vetted. That's really important, especially when, you know, someone like me, I don't have the resources to go through that process, and I can go to a trusted organization and know that their values are aligned with mine. And so it's really easy. So that's one thing that really excited me about this program. And then also that they're ready and waiting, because sometimes someone will know of this project or program, and we definitely want to find ways to support them. But if they aren't ready to host us as tourists, it's a little bit of a disconnect. And so it's really important that they're ready to be able to host us and that we're not impacting them in a negative way by being there. And that we, being vetted, know, you know, how that money is being spent. We want to put our money where our resources are the most positively impactful. And I think sometimes we just see that it's a charity or a nonprofit or, you know, some sort of organization, and we just think that our money must be doing good. And I have honestly had a lot of colleagues say, I just don't know how to bring this into my business because I've heard I can do more harm than good. So I think those are really powerful things to be aware of and bring attention to, because it is so important to really understand what those interactions look like and that they're done respectfully and that there is a right way to go about it. And you can ripple things out in the wrong way. And I was actually thinking of that today, like the word ripple, and often like a ripple, you know, you see the top of the wave and you see the immediate impact, but you don't see everything that's underneath the wave. And I was thinking that kind of ties back to what we were saying earlier of all the stuff that's happening underneath when a traveler arrives to a destination and all the things that continue to happen after we leave. And just bringing awareness to that bigger picture. And I really think that that's something that the Meaningful Travel Map does for travelers and for destinations. And I do know that Jordan, you know, was such a great place to start this project with because they are really aware. But I wonder what that conversation looks like with destinations maybe that hadn't thought of it, that didn't know how to put these things in place. Have you had that experience where you're really educating them about how their travel can be more impactful?
Absolutely. And I think it's a great mix. And to go with what you're saying, Christine, about all this work that happens behind the scenes and under the ripple, very much all of that is happening as well. So as you were talking about that, I was thinking of our current partners that we're working with in Colombia, ProColombia, as well as Impulse Travel. ProColombia being our DMO partner that we're working with to host our summit in 2011. But our on-the-ground partner, Impulse Travel, is very much made up of social impact entrepreneurs that have been working in the local communities we're hoping to support over this past year. So even during COVID, they've been administering COVID relief grants, but at the same time providing digital literacy, upskilling, capacity training, all remote through cell phones, and really working with, you know, hospitality and tourism training with the resources that are available. So all of the organizations that we work with have had some sort of consultation with how we can better work with the tourism market, but really leaning on what does that community want tourism to look like for them? Because in the end, these tourism destinations that are places to visit for us really are the homes of the community members that live there. So we really want to be cognizant and respectful of how tourism is built in these communities and want that to be very much led by the local voice and the local leaders that are living in those communities.
That's really powerful and important as well. And that's something, as I've you know, kind of been in the travel industry, been traveling, that I have really pulled into my values of knowing that I'm a guest where I'm going. And I love how you said that. Like, we often just come from this mindset of we're on vacation, we're escaping, we're going somewhere, we're feeling pretty entitled to this experience, and we get there and maybe aren't connecting and being respectful to the fact that this is someone's home. Like, this is where they live. And if we flip that and we are receiving travelers where we live, we really know what that feels like to receive maybe some of that energy in that way. And I think it's so important, especially I like to travel in, you know, developing countries, really rural areas, maybe that don't see a lot of tourism. So it's even more important, and engaging and bringing community into that conversation. I think that's where tourism then can have the greatest impact, is when we really allow the communities to paint the picture, like you said, of what they want tourism to look like for them. We definitely shouldn't own what that looks like. That's very much a part of where they should be in control. And I think those conversations are great, and they have a better idea of what they have to offer beyond what we can even understand. And so I think something even more beautiful unfolds when it's a very two-sided conversation. And I think that is a great segue into, I wanted to discuss how we tie travel and community impact, because they are so interconnected. How do tourism, tourists have the opportunities to create positive impact in the destinations we travel?
Mm-hmm. I think community consultation is so important. Community consultation, as well as it being community owned and managed, so that we can ensure that the socioeconomic impacts of the tourism industry are also being left in the community. I have this this reminds me of one of the trips that I was part of in one of my previous workplaces. But we had fundraised for an organization that was providing clean cook stoves across the Rift Valley. And when we went to go administer that grant, the owners of the organization, it was co-founded by a Maasai gentleman named Kisioki. He had said, you know, okay, these funds are coming from the tourism industry, but what does tourism really look like here? He's like, you know, the Maasai, we're not just here to sing and dance. That's not who we are. And visiting these communities where these clean cook stoves were being implemented, you know, they are still training women fundis, experts in the community to build these clean cook stoves. And the innovation behind the locally sourced materials, the way they're built, the way that the community collaborates together in itself was such a meaningful experience. And a lot of, you know, stereotypes that were broken that I learned. And he had mentioned, he's like, you know, we would love to make this into a tour, really show the actual innovation of the Maasai people instead of just relying on the stereotypes. And so that's what we did. We developed a tour of what would you like tourism in this Maasai community to look like. And the Clean Cook Stoves tour was developed. And it's I've heard such receptive feedback from travelers that this was the most meaningful part of their entire tour itinerary, because it was learning something that they had never thought to even think about in these communities. And the environmental, social, and socioeconomic benefits of this project in this community were just extraordinary. You know, we saw a decrease in deforestation from not having to use so much firewood in homes. We saw better health for the children in these communities because they weren't inhaling smoke from traditional made stoves. But we're also seeing the preservation of recipes and the way that cooking takes place, because these stoves were locally made and led by the women that own these homes. So there's so much to this experience that was developed and experienced fun. Going back to fund even more stoves in that community. So it was just this lovely sort of virtuous circle of of learning and implementation and preservation of culture that wouldn't have happened if that community consultation and that radical honesty was there with the leaders of that community of how they really wanted to see tourism evolve in their community. So I think that's really important, is to make sure that when we're developing any sort of community tourism experience, that we have all stakeholders at the table, especially having that led by the community.
I think it's a really beautiful example. And, you know, the minute you say Maasai, of course, I see that image, right, of, you know, the traditional costume and dance and the performance that is really associated with engaging with that community from a tourism perspective. And it's beautiful and powerful and, you know, something I definitely want to see. And when I'm traveling and those kind of experiences are presented to me, I always have a little bit of a feeling like it's authentic and that it is what they would do traditionally in their community, but it's inauthentic in that they're performing for us as tourists. And so I just always have a little bit of hesitancy. And then I also have this urge to kind of like peek behind the curtain and really see the community. And every once in a while, I've been so fortunate to stumble into a village during like a wedding or a festival or something that wasn't planned for me. And it's so amazing to just have that experience. And so I think it's a balance of like wanting to share a culture in sharing a tradition that maybe is a performance, and then also really understanding why. And like you said, just inviting them into the conversation. And I mean, I know I would be so excited to have experienced that as well, and see the process of how they are actually bringing the stoves into their home and what that's doing for the community. That would be far, far more impactful than maybe a 20-minute performance in terms of connecting with the destination. And then what you take home from that experience is going to be so much more valuable too, when you're seeing these people as real, you know, strong warriors, when you see what they can do in these situations and where their creativity comes and where they, how they live off the land, which I think it's harder for us to understand because we don't live in that way. So I think, like you said, that all of a sudden there's all these little moving parts that came into that one picture that you maybe wouldn't have seen when you started to map it out. Another example that you had shared with me, and I think this is something really important to think of now, where we're looking at how we can contribute to these communities during this halt of travel. And again, you know, when we are planning a trip, we just kind of think of us and this trip. And we're not necessarily thinking about all of the pieces that make that trip happen for us. And then when travel stops, as is this anomaly of this time, what happens to all those pieces where we normally travel, the communities, the guides, the organizations? And I have seen so many of my colleagues and organizations like Tourism Cares really step up to support these communities. But can you talk about what are ways that we can continue to support communities with the absence of this economic benefit of travel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've seen a lot of really neat innovation that has come out this year. And I think there's still ways to support travel destinations, even when we're sitting at home. So I know our friends in Puerto Rico, we held a summit in Puerto Rico last year. A number of the organizations we work with, I'm thinking off the top of my head, an organization called Isla Carib has put together these incredible virtual packages that do have that interaction. So they have one tour that's focused on the local coffee of that region. And they'll actually ship you samples of the coffee so that when you are doing their virtual experience, you're actually able to smell and learn and taste as they're able to educate you on the different types of blends and coffees as they go along. Our friends at the Indigenous Tourism Association of Canada has an incredible map the website is indigenousdestinations.org, I believe. Over 700 different businesses that some are operating in Canada. I'm currently here in Canada. That are ways to support Indigenous cultures across Turtle Island, whether they be cafes or restaurants that are open currently, some experiences that can be done domestically. I think we've seen a lot of collaboration and consultation of the increase of probably domestic tourism continuing to be on the rise into 2021. And there's just a lot of really cool, interesting experiences, I would say domestic, meaningful travel map experiences that we can do in our own backyard as well. So I think investing in these experiences while we're sort of stuck at home, whether virtually or safely in person, if that's available to us, is important, as well as, just showing our advocacy that these experiences and organizations are still operating. How can we amplify and boost them while we're all here at home? Whether that's even just staying informed and joining their mailer list, whether we have the ability to make small donations to these organizations. I think there's a lot we can still do while we're kind of all stuck at home.
I think that some of those innovations, I think we'll see this across the board from this time period, but these innovations might stay with us. Like, I love the idea of the coffee experience that you just shared, because maybe someone is just not comfortable traveling internationally, or that's maybe not a place they'd ever thought about going, so they can still have that experience, and maybe it will lead to comfort and travel in the future to the actual destination, but it can kind of bridge that gap and be this safe introductory space for these experiences. So I think it's kind of neat to see some of the things that are being invented that might actually enhance tourism in the future. So I think that's really great. And then also really validates for those communities what they have to offer in terms of their culture and the things that they already create. Because I think that you have probably seen this in your work as these cultures, there's weaving cultures and all different kinds of artisans that are losing, much like Indigenous cultures in North America, losing their connection and their tie to those crafts. And so as tourists, when we really engage with those communities, it shows them that that's something worth hanging on to. And hopefully something that isn't lost, because it's so valuable on a whole to our world. And I don't know if you have anything to tie into that particular aspect, but I think it's such an important thing.
Yeah, I think tourism is one of the, it's one of the only industries that allows for communities to make choices of being able to work in the communities that you grew up in, as well as being able to pursue opportunities elsewhere. It provides that choice. It's one of the only industries that's able to get to some of the most rural and remote places in the world. It employs more women and Indigenous people than any other industry in the world. And it creates that choice. I've seen communities that have run rampant with urban migration of sort of the younger generation leaving to pursue opportunities in cities, and then really leaving their culture behind. But I've also seen that tourism is able to sustain dignified livelihoods within that community, and having those children that have gone off to, let's say, post-secondary school, maybe being the first generation to go off to post-secondary school, then come back and be able to really invest in their communities and keep that culture alive. So I think it's this really sort of beautiful opportunity of choice, to really bring choice to communities, whether they stay or go or come back. I think tourism has this way of investing in the next generation of leaders and communities to help strengthen and make more resilient cultures as well. And I don't think any other industry really does that.
Yeah, it's just a really beautiful circle. And I think that's when I landed in this industry. I have a background in sociology, and I've always just had this kind of reverence for other cultures and a wish to experience them, and didn't really connect that to a career in tourism. It seemed like maybe it needed to be, you know, anthropology or something more academic. And then when you really look at it, and as you were speaking, it's like community is really the purpose for tourism. If we don't have destinations to go to and experience, we're not left with anything. And that's what it really enriches our lives when we travel. And I understand that, you know, there's a space for just traveling for relaxation and disconnecting, but for me, I always prefer to connect and engage, and that's what restores me. And so again, then that just shows you how many facets of life are connected to tourism. And we were talking about an example that you shared in San Juan, La Laguna, with creating a reverse osmosis system. And I think this is such a beautiful example of how tourism and community and then beyond, how that all comes together. So would you mind sharing that story here?
Absolutely. So I used to work for an organization called Planetera Foundation. And one of my colleagues, Paula Blamings, also was the exec director of Planetera during this sort of time. But this was a project that was part of a 5-year multilateral investment commitment from the Inter-American Development Bank to work with 5 major communities and 40 minor micro enterprises to develop tourism, the tourism economy in Central and South America. But San Juan La Laguna in Guatemala was one of the communities that this project was part of. And what we found was the main project was the development of 26 different homestays that would be fed through sort of the tourism supply chain for travelers that are part of a tour operator to visit. But with these sort of 26 different homestays came these little micro businesses. How can we support the sort of tourism infrastructure with these micro businesses, whether they're artisan groups, meals and small restaurants, cafes? And then this one was this reverse osmosis business, which was really this tiny enterprise of 2 people. Part of this multilateral grant went to put in a reverse osmosis water tank. Water problems is a big problem in this community. A lot of water is fed from the Lake Atitlan, which this community sits on. There's a lot of gastrointestinal problems that happen in this community. We installed this water tank as a way to be able to bring potable water to these 26 different homestays, but also as a water source for the community. Everyone brings their own water tanks to refill, so it's reducing that plastic, the plastic pollution problem. It's the cost to refill. The water is minimal. It really just goes towards sustaining the infrastructure of the reverse osmosis tank and the livelihoods and jobs of the 2 people that manage the water business. And what we found was not only was it creating jobs for local community members, but having this water used in the homes and this and eventually the school in the community led to this mass reduction of GI problems with the kids. And this sort of side ripple was kids were able to stay in school longer. They weren't missing classes because of stomach bugs. So attendance at local schools rapidly increased as well. So just looking at how these concerted efforts to put in infrastructure in communities first and foremost helps the communities that live there and the communities to benefit from this infrastructure. But as a side effect this was also put in to help better sort of the traveler experience in these communities as well. So I think really mutually beneficial, dual fold. I think it benefits everyone. And just all of these sort of like little sort of side impacts that can happen. Again, when we really look at how to manage tourism responsibly, and with all stakeholders at the table.
Yeah, it's just such a beautiful example, and it's almost so simple that it seems like it couldn't be so impactful. And you know, it may have started simply from wishing to have clean water for these tourists. And there might be a lot of other examples where you're looking to serve the needs of the tourists. But if you look at it, you know, one way of solving that may have been to provide more bottled water, right? That could have been an easy way, but that then has obviously an environmental impact for the community. And it would only have been serving that group of people. And so I love like the problem solving that went beyond that. And then it also creates something from the community that exists outside of the tourism industry. And I think that's another really great example of how community-based tourism works well, is if you're creating something that doesn't exist just for the sake of the tourist. And so then we're in a period of time where travelers can't come, and that doesn't have to be a global pandemic. It can be hurricanes and mudslides and, you know, minor disease outbreaks happen all over the world, all over the time, that impact rural tourism. And so I think that these projects are so important because they allow something to live and continue beyond the purpose of just meeting travelers' needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing that comes up a lot in this line of conversation with tourism is investing in women in communities in particular. And I think you and I both know that it's so important, but I would love to kind of unwrap that part of this picture for people who maybe aren't as familiar with why. And gender equality is one of the most effective ways to reduce extreme poverty. And it's such a big, bold statement that can seem a little bit confusing. But we know that women reinvest about 90% of their incomes back into their communities and their families. And I think right there, that's why it's so important. And then it ripples out into education, right? Like almost 30 million girls around the world don't have the opportunity for education. And if they are educated, it's not past sixth grade. And then once you have an educated woman who's a leader in the community, it impacts other gender issues like child marriage and equal employment, gender-based violence and reproductive health. Like it just goes on and on and on. And it all starts with something so simple as hiring a female guide for your trip, or visiting schools and finding a way to bring empowering women into the conversation. So I would just love to open that up to you and let you go wherever that feels good for you.
That's it's such a big
topic. It is a big topic. I feel like for months.
yeah, no, definitely. I think tourism is an industry that is an incredible vehicle for change. And then, you know, looking at sort of the gender empowerment sort of area of tourism, you know, tourism, again, is you know, there's more women in tourism than there are men. It's the only industry where there's more women employed in the industry than men. And I think it's a tool at sort of all levels of management, whether you're looking at you know, leaders, government officials, tourism has been an incredible sort of force for executive leadership of women in the industry, government officials, ministers of tourism, and in the sort of the same sort of thought process, it creates a doorway into the formal economy for so many women that may not have benefited from a formal education, where a formal education would be required in order to get a dignified livelihood in community. It really capitalizes on transferable skills, skill sets that in more so patriarchal societies, might have designated women to manage a household and be responsible for, the cooking and household management of the kids in the home, but can really sort of optimize on those skill sets of looking at, creating those dignified livelihoods for women to be able to earn an income outside of the household. So I've seen organizations that are gender empowerment organizations that have helped women create livelihoods as becoming chefs, becoming artisans, being able to foster homegrown skills such as artisan works that are sold in shops and markets, and to be able to earn an income that way. We've seen even sort of the informal sector leading to the formal sector of women being incredibly entrepreneurial and, might have started as a home business, but then are running their own restaurants or their own tour operator organizations or their own trekking companies. So I think there is just such incredible opportunity in this industry for women. And it's able to foster sort of leadership at all levels of management.
Yeah, I love that idea of every stop along the way, there is opportunity for growth and leadership. And I've seen that over and over again as I've traveled. And I always love these conversations with strong women that I connect with all over the world. And then seeing really how it impacts, because it always comes back to community leadership and family leadership. And it just goes beyond the initial sphere. And so I think it's really important to continue to bring that into the conversation. And that's why this season of Soul of Travel is focusing on women in this space and really highlighting the work that people are doing, giving them a space to share what they're doing and how that impacts their lives and the lives of others. So I really am so happy that you were able to join me for this. And before we go, I just wanted to tie this back into a couple of things. One, you mentioned the upcoming conference in Colombia. That's part of why I reached out to Tourism Cares right now as well, is because I understood that the Meaningful Travel Map might be extending to that region, and the conference and the work that you're doing there with organizations. And during coronavirus and the pause in my own business, I launched something called Lotus Communities, which is a brand that supports these local organizations and nonprofits. And so I was really excited to connect with you and to partner with Tourism Cares to support a community in Colombia with the January t-shirt design. So I would love for you to just share a little bit about the conference, how people can be involved if it's a fit for them, and then this community, which is really amazing, the scope of this project in Colombia.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Christine, for supporting us and supporting our community partners. So our next Meaningful Travel Global Summit will be held in Medellin, Colombia. Dates to be determined and will be announced on 2021. We just have to push it back because of the circumstances we're all in right now. But we'll be visiting a number of social enterprises and community-led organizations in Medellin. And we're working with Impulse Travel, our grand partners. And they've been actively working with the Peace Hub, which supports a number of women organizations as well as all genders, to be able to really foster social entrepreneurial leadership in Medellin. Impulse Travel, they work all over Colombia. We're focused really on Medellin, as we wanted to sort of look at sort of secondary cities that may not be getting as much benefits from the tourism industry as other places around Colombia. But some of the organizations, I had a chance to visit a few right before everything shut down. I was literally on the plane ride back as they were calling for the pandemic. But one of the organizations we work with is a women-run capoeira organization that's really bringing capoeira, which is a traditional art form, to the community as a way of expression and also self-defense. As well as supporting two sisters that have an ecological impact tour in one of the communities of Medellin. They've really transformed what used to be sort of the public dump into this really beautiful neighborhood, really upskilling and upcycling materials around the community to create community spaces, green spaces, and parks. So these tours and the women that lead them are creating vast change in their communities, have impacted so many individuals and families in the communities, and really just reclaimed their narrative of the communities that they've grown up in. They have such incredible stories to share, and I hope that we're able to share them with some of you folks that are listening in today. And then hope some of you are also able to join us. So we are taking applications for our Colombia trip on our website now. If you search for tourismcares.org and then look under our summits, the application form is there. And then please also just sign up for our newsletter and our social media networks. I believe Christine, you'll link out to them as opposed to this, but that's the best way to sort of follow along on what we're doing, updates on our Colombia trip, as well as the organizations we're working with in Colombia and domestically next year as well.
This also timed brilliantly and totally unintentionally, but with the auction that you have going on right now, and this is one thing that since I've learned about Tourism Cares has been the thing that I stalk every year. It sparks my like inspiration for places I might want to travel. I get really excited seeing all the things that are put together, but can you just quickly let people know where they can find that as well and the purpose behind the auction?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Christine. So our auction went live this week. This auction is instrumental to Tourism Cares' work. The funding goes towards helping us be able to run these programmatic activities throughout the year. We've had such incredible and generous donors to our auction, but it's a great way to sort of put an impact trip on your sort of bucket list next year. We have some really cool stuff in our auction this year. I believe there's a trip to the Galapagos, which is an incredible destination, as well as also experiences that you can do in your own home. So I know there's some really cool impact consultants that are part of our auction as well. If you're looking to sort of hone in on your sustainability journey next year as well. So please, it's also on our website. We will also be blasting that out in our newsletter, and we'll be featured at USTOA this week, which is happening this week as well, their annual conference. So please bid for good. All of that money helps us be able to create programmatic impact next year.
Yeah. I'll definitely encourage listeners, if you listen to this, you know, in a month from now and it's too late, just put it on your radar, because it happens every year, and every year there's, you know, definitely more than one trip that I wish I would be walking away with. So, and you know, even if you don't win it, it just can inspire you for your own intentional journey in the future. So well, I am so excited. This has been like the perfect way to start my week, and my dog is going to start barking right now, but doesn't. I would love to just invite you into, I have some rapid fire questions, and they're a little bit lighthearted, kind of a fun way to end the conversation and let people get to know you as a person and the traveler as well. So the first one is, what is your favorite book or movie that offers you a travel escape or inspires an adventure?
Ooh, well, that one's a big one for me. I come from like a very big media household. So favorite book. I just finished reading Yah Jesse's Transcendent Kingdom that just came out in September. It was probably my favorite book of the year. Yah Jesse also wrote Homegoing, which is one of my favorite books, which looks at sort of the generational. It's a heavy book. It's a heavy book. It goes through the storylines of, I think, like seven generations of two different families that were enslaved during the transatlantic slave trade up until the present day. Beautiful book, beautifully written. I'm a huge, big fan of Yah Jesse. And then movie, we have been watching probably too much media this year being stuck at home. That one I might have to put a pause on. So my partner is a horror film director, so it's not really the best sort of the best place for inspiration on travel.
Maybe where not to want to travel. What is always in your suitcase or your backpack when you travel?
Always have a reusable water bottle wherever I go.
What is your favorite destination you've traveled to?
This would be a mix. So I had the opportunity of going to Antarctica, which was incredible. Just out of this world, beautiful. I also got to take my mom to Bhutan when she retired a few years ago. So I also love the country of Bhutan and their sort of mandate on sustainable travel.
Two places I would love to go, and Antarctica seems to be leading the way as favorite destinations for the people that I've had on so far. Where do you still long to visit?
Oh, so many places. I lived in Korea for a couple of years a while ago, and I had the opportunity of being able to see a lot of Southeast Asia and East Asia, but I've never gotten to Japan. So I'd love to go to Japan and do some hiking there.
What do you eat that immediately reconnects you to a place you've traveled?
Before I went vegetarian, I think jerk chicken would take me there. I haven't been to Ethiopia yet, but injera is a place. Injera, the food is something that I love and just sort of like takes me on a little trip every time I eat it.
Who was a person that inspired, encouraged you to set out to explore the world?
That would probably be my late aunt, Noreen. She was a pro athlete. She was an Olympian. She passed away about 15 years ago when she was in her mid-40s. But she lived fiercely and she lived strong and she traveled the world with the biggest open heart. So as a kid, I always got postcards from her wherever she was, whatever sporting event she was at. So she's definitely my inspiration.
I love that when family can model that for us. My best friend growing up has little boys that are not little anymore. They're younger than my children. And they had a scrapbook that was called Where in the World is Aunt Chris? And I would send them pictures from everywhere. So, and they, you know, they always just think like it opened the door to possibility for travel. The last one is, if you can take an adventure with one person, fictional or real, alive or past, who would it be?
That would probably be, well, I have so many picks here as well. I would probably still either pick my current partner or my mom. I feel like they're my two favorite travel partners. They help me see perspectives that I might not see, and I do love traveling with both of them.
Well, thank you so much for playing along with that. I always think that's really fun, and for being here. Such an important and beautiful conversation around community-based travel and the work that travel can do for good. So I'm honored to have had you join me and look forward to hearing what other people have to say about the conversation.
Thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you for listening to Soul of Travel. I hope you enjoyed the journey. If this sounds like your community, welcome. I'm so happy to connect with you. You can find more about the ways you can be a part of the Soul of Travel and Lotus Sojourn community at www.lotussojourns.com. Here, you can find out more about Soul of Travel and my guests. You can also find the Lotus Sojourns I Guide for Women, as well as my current book, Sojourn, offering an opportunity to explore your heart, mind, and the world through the pages of books specially selected to create a unique journey. You can find me on Facebook at Lotus Sojourns and join our community, the Lotus Sojourns Collective, or follow me on Instagram, either at Lotus Sojourns or Soul of Travel Podcast. Join the Lotus Sojourns mailing list. I look forward to getting to know you and hopefully hear your story.